day long. Good spiritual singing, good songs about the Lord. And I appreciate them coming this morning and sharing their talents. And I'd like for y'all to come back after or at the end of the service during the invitation period, if you could, and sing the invitation song or one that you have already, if you could do that at the end of the message. But good to have them here today. And I encourage you to view their table out front, all about the Crown College and how they travel and things. But Crown College, I can highly recommend it since I'm a graduate there. So I tell you what, friends, there's nothing like getting an education in the Lord. You can go to some of these secular colleges and they're teaching all kinds of ungodly things. But you can rest assured at Crown College you're hearing the truth. And appreciate them this morning. Appreciate you all that's come out to support them, family and friends, and all of you that's here. And I won't be very long this morning, I don't think. The Lord has got me in a message today out of the book of James. James chapter 1 is where we'll be taking our text from today. James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 25. I think in the bulletin we've put 22 through 25, but 19 through 25 of James chapter 1. And as you get there, if you're able to stand this morning, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, starting with verse 19. And here the Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgotteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now that you bless it. God, anoint me for a few minutes to preach on this text. And God, may you do a mighty work here today. For these things we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. You can be seated. Well, these verses that we just read, they were inspired by God and written down by the human penman, James, believed to be the brother of Jesus, James. Verses 19 through 21, as we read there, it's cautioning the reader that we need to be very, very careful on how we treat the Word of God, how we interact with God's Word, how we apply God's Word to our life. Did you notice what it called there? It says the engrafted Word. And do you see what the power of the engrafted word is able to do? It tells us there in that verse, it says it's able to save your souls. Verse 21, it's able to save your souls, engrafted word. And so we're dealing with the Word of God today and how we as men and women need to respond to the Word of God, how we interact with God's Word. Now, we had a Sunday school class this morning that we're dealing with the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about a lot of things, how man interacts with the Spirit. But I want to look this morning, and I'm focused upon the subject today. I've titled the message, Self-Deception. Self-Deception. I'm taking that there from verse 22, where it says, "But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Deceiving your own selves. Now, the book of James, of course, if you do much studying in it, you realize that it is a book that was written to new Christians, to those that are learning, that needs to be instructed in the ways of God. You may call it the Christian's Book for Dummies. You've heard of those books that they sell, Things for Dummies. I'm not trying to downplay God's Word by any means, but I'm just giving you an example. You have these books like Auto Mechanics for Dummies, or Algebra for Dummies. That one's me right there. Algebra for Dummies. Woodworking for Dummies. I've seen all these different types of books out there. You could consider James's word here as a guidebook for those that don't really understand how they need to interact with God and respond to God. And so we need to understand that. He says that we need to be more ready to hear than to speak, and to speak slowly. That means be listening more than you're talking. That's not really a bad problem for me. I'm quiet most of the time anyway. My dad was that way. And people will tell you about my dad, if you've ever been around him, you know when he speaks, you need to listen. Because he rarely spoke, but when he did, he spoke words of wisdom. And so we need to be careful that we're not just going around all the time blabbering, but we're listening. And what are we listening to? The Word of God. That's what we're listening to this morning. He said, "Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Self-deception. Self-deception. You see, James is sounding out a strong, stern warning to us. We need to be very careful today that we understand that as a man, as a woman, that we have flesh that we have to deal with. We have things that draw us from God. We're not naturally drawn to God in a natural sense of the flesh, but it's through the Spirit we're drawn to Him. And so we need to be very careful that we understand that we can be deceived ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. And that's the worst kind of deception. The same thing, it goes on in churches all around. People will come into a church. They'll listen to the Word of God preached. They'll hear the Word of God taught and spoken. And they all hear the Word of God. But it's how you act upon that Word of God that you've heard is what counts. It's hearing and acting, not hearing and forgetting. You see, James is trying to warn us that we don't just hear the Word and then go out and forget about it and not act upon it. Because that does us no good. If we believe that we're in some kind of religious mode, and we can get in that religious mode, you know, going through the motions, through the steps. I've known many people that base their whole life upon religion and how they act a certain way and behave a certain way. And they base everything they do on their good behavior. Well, it's not about your good behavior, but it's how you interact and how you act upon the Word of God. And people can hear the message. And they can come to every service. You can come Sunday morning. You can come Sunday night. You can come Wednesday night. You can come for any special meeting that we have and hear the Word of God being taught or preached and then walk right out the door and never act upon it. And that's going on in churches all over the world today. All over the world. Friends, this country is full of people that faithfully attend church, but and they attend the service. They hear the Word, but they never act upon what they hear. Never act on what they hear. Some will listen and they'll think things like this. "Oh, preacher, you got them this morning. Oh, you preached that message. I know who that was to. Well, that really hit brother and so-and-so. Sister so-and-so need to hear that message. I wish so-and-so had been here so they'd heard that because that was for them." But that person never goes out of the church thinking that message was for me. That was for me. And often I've preached and people will come to me, approach me at the door or later on in the day or a different day, and they'll say, "You know that message that you preached, when you preached that, you hit me right between the eyes. That Word of God, it hit me. And I realized what I was doing wrong." And that is how we need to respond to the Word of God. We're not thinking of how it's going to affect other people. Hopefully they're affected by being saved by hearing the Word of God. But we don't be concerned when we're listening to the preaching and teaching the Word of God that it's always for somebody else. It's for us. It's for everyone. Why, Pastor Byron, I've been a member of the church since 1942. I was here when they drove the first nail in the first board of the church. I've been sitting in the same pew on the same side of the church for 75 years. And I've heard every word ever preached. I've sat through every Sunday school. Look at my Bible. I've underlined every word in there. And I've committed a lot of scripture to memory. I've been in churches all my life, and I know it all. I've heard it all. And that's as far as they've ever taken it. And I want to ask, what have you done with that Word? What did you do with God's Word when you heard it taught? When you underline those things in your Bible, often I'll ask you to underline certain things in your Bible. So when you go back and you look through the Word of God, you see that underlined and you think, "Well, I remember when Pastor Byron said that and what he was preaching about and what that means to me." You see, when we study God's Word, we're studying it to see how it applies to us and what we can do with it. God, what are you expecting from me? When you come into a church service, we should always approach the church service in prayer. We should always approach the church service in asking God, "God, what would you have me to do? God, how would you want me to do in this service? What can I do in the service for the Lord?" But many people, they treat the house of God like a movie theater. Many people, I've seen they have this notion that you come to church to see a show. It's much like the theater. You go in and you sit down and you pick your seat, where you want to sit. Now in here, everybody, of course, has got to pick the same seat every Sunday, right? We all pick the same seat. They approach it like a movie. Like you go into the theater and you look and you find you a chair that you want to sit in. Then you sit back and you relax and you look up at the screen, or in the church, you look up at the pastor or the singers, and you sit back and you wonder, how good are they going to be? What am I going to hear today? How's this going to, make me feel better about myself or something like that? And the only thing missing from it is the popcorn. In a lot of places, a lot of people, the way they treat church, the only thing missing is the popcorn, because they're spectators and not participators. Well, when we approach the Word of God, as we come in, as we're praying, we're asking the Lord to guide us and direct us and to let the Word penetrate our heart so that we can act upon God's Word. Otherwise, we're deceiving ourselves. We are in self-deception. James says that if we only hear the Word but never do the Word, that you're only deceiving yourself. In other words, self-deception. Now, it's bad enough when you deceive other people. And I say this a lot of times, you can deceive people. We see the occasion just this week, as we saw on the front page of our paper, the man that just deceived many people, was dealing with sin in his life and has done so many things. That man needs your prayers. The church needs your prayers. The victims need your prayers. But we can see that it's very easy to deceive people. Deception is going on all the time, and it's easy to deceive others. But when you deceive yourself, that's the worst thing. Because you get into this notion that everything's okay, that I'm fine, that there's no problem with me because I'm going through the steps. I'm going through the steps. Is that the way that we approach the Word of God today? Is that how we think of the Lord? Are we deceiving our own selves? Are we living a life of self-deception? I'm afraid that many people are today. James, he goes on to say there in verse 23, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Notice it says that if you are a hearer of the word and not a doer, you are like a man looking at his own face in the mirror. And then he walks away and he don't even remember what he looked like. He don't even remember the man that he saw. Notice it said a man. It did not say a woman. How many men in here have a compact in your pocket? How many of you have a little makeup mirror in your pocket, men? Raise your hand if you do. I'm going to call you out if you're a man and you've got a mirror in your pocket. Not a man in here has a mirror in his pocket. But I guarantee you almost every lady in this building has a mirror in her pocketbook. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. And so we know he's not talking about a woman looking in the mirror, but a man that looks in the mirror. He's much like us guys. You know, we can go and look in the mirror and it's just there so that we can make sure that we still got hair on our head, you know? We don't pay that much attention. Now the ladies, they scrutinize and they look and they pay close attention. They examine it and it makes sure every hair is in place. But us men, we're just like, oh yeah, and walk off. We don't remember what we look like. And then our wives have to come out and say, "Hey, are you going to go out like that? You know, are you not going to take care of that? You know, you got this cowlick sticking up like this. You can fix that." You know, but us men, we don't pay much attention. We walk away and we don't even realize what we just looked at. But a woman, she doesn't just glance in the mirror. She gazes and looks closely. So the man in the mirror isn't necessarily talking about an absent-minded man. It doesn't mean he's an absent-minded man, but he's very inattentive of what he's looked at. He's not paid a great attention. You know, a lot of times we'll tell our children, "You need to clean your room." You go in there and the room's a mess. You need to clean your room. You know, and you go back an hour later and it's the same mess or even bigger. And you say, "I thought I told you to clean your room." "Oh, I forgot." They did not forget. Trust me, they didn't forget that. They just didn't pay attention. They weren't attentive enough. They didn't care enough to act upon what was said. And so they leave the room that way, and then it has to deal with punishment. And we say, "I told you to clean your room." And they say, "Well, you know, I forgot." Well, they just didn't act upon what they heard. Verse 25, James, he said this, He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, here when James says that, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it has the meaning behind it of someone that's stooping down and looking closely and examining and understanding what they're looking at. It's a thought of you really want to make sure that you're seeing what you're seeing. And so you examine it very closely. You know, when I was a young man around 12 years old, and you all that's heard this, just bear with me. When I was around 12 years old, me and my cousins and my sisters, we were out in the cow pasture behind my parents' house playing baseball. And for any young people, that's what young people used to do before video games. We played baseball out in the cow pasture. And so we were out in the cow pasture playing baseball. And, of course, we had to dodge all the cows' doings out in the field. But we were all assembled out there, and we had our little bases set up. I was the pitcher, 12-year-old pitcher. And I could pitch, man. I was good. And I was out there on the pitcher's mound. And coming up to bat was my older cousin, Danny Barnes. Well, Danny Barnes, 4 years older than me. About that time, he was 16 or 17 years old. He was not only older than me, he was taller than me and stronger than me. He used to take his grief out on me. But he was a strong boy. Well, he got up to bat. There I stood on the pitcher's mound. There my cousin Danny come up to bat. And I was nervous already because it was him. Because I figured he'd hit a home run. But what Danny did on that home plate, he took the bat, he did it back like this, and he pointed at me, and he said, I'm going to hit you with that ball, Tug. That was my name, Tug. He called me Tug. And right away I was rattled because he says he's going to hit me with a ball. Well, despite the fact, I took that ball in my hand. I wadded it around. I spit on the ground because all baseball pitchers spit on the ground. And I got that ball, and I turned. I looked over at first base. There wasn't anybody there. But I turned and looked at first base, and I pulled my hat up, and I wound up, and I let that ball fly. And I know it had to be a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. And it went straight over the center of the plate, right in the zone. Right in the zone. I heard the crack of the bat. I don't remember much else after that. The next thing I knew, I was in a cave or somewhere. I was laying flat on my back. It was pitch dark. And I heard somebody way out in the distance saying, oh no, he's killed Tug. And the next thing I hear is my father. He's standing over me and he's saying, well, looks like they're probably going to have to cut that open. And so I'm laying here. I don't know where I'm at. It's pitch black. I can't see a thing. The next thing I know, I'm waking up, I'm on a table in a doctor's office, that or the morgue one. I'm laying on a table, and there's a man standing over me with a flashlight. I finally can see out of one eye. It was the right eye I could see out of. I got hit in the left eye. This left eye was completely stopped. It was shut up. There's a knot on my eye that big, and it was filled full of blood where I'd been hit. And so sure enough, the doctor said, we're going to have to cut that open so we can drain that out. So there that happened. Well, as that healed and started healing, I didn't think much about it. It took quite a while. My eye looked like a red grape for a while. But you'd think that was the end of it. That was fine. He healed up and he's fine. He didn't lose his eyesight. He can see again. Well, about a few years ago when I turned 45, I started having trouble seeing. You know, I'm sitting here doing this number like this, like a lot of you guys do. I'm sitting here like this and squinting and going on. And I'm going to the doctor and everything looks real dark out of this side. I go to the doctor and he looks at it and he says, well, you're awful young, but you've got a cataract on that eye. He said it's a pretty severe cataract. And he said, that's really unusual. He said, did you ever get hit when you were a young man in the eye? Did anything ever hit you in the eye? And I thought, Danny Barnes. And sure enough, that injury to my eye as just a 12-year-old boy affect me later on in life. And it caused that eye not to be able to see good. So I had the surgery done. They put in the thing, took the cataract off. But what I didn't know was when all the cataract was done. Now, you older folks has told me you've had this. You probably knew, but I didn't know. It's set for one focal length. So you either see far away or you see up close. Well, the doctor put the one that's far away in my eye. So up close, I close this eye. Hey, it's just black things right here. I don't even know what to say. This eye I can see. So a lot of times you may see me do like this. I can see fine out there, but up close, I can barely see anything out of this eye. And so you may see me a lot of times scrutinizing and looking real close at something so I can examine it. If I'm at work and there's something that I need to know, a number, and every manufacturer puts a number about this big on the back of everything they manufacture. And so when you're talking to somebody on the phone, they say, "What's the number on the back of it?" Give me about 30 minutes and I'll let you know. You know, I'm sitting here with a magnifying glass. But we have to scrutinize and look. James there, he says, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." He's talking about someone that's getting down and looking closely and understanding what they're seeing. And he says that they will be blessed. The perfect law of liberty. God's law teaches that you will be blessed. You'll be blessed. Not just blessed because you did it, but your work will be a blessing to you. If God prompts you to do something, if His Holy Word mentions something, and you listen to it, you hear it, and you act upon it, you're not only blessing God for following His will, but you're having a blessing yourself. And that's not even counting all the blessings that other people receive from you acting on the Word of God. How many people today have been disobedient to the Lord? They've walked around, they've not done what God said to do, and they've not been a blessing to where they needed to be, and God has not been able to use them because they have not done what God's Word said. Now, all this seems very lighthearted and casual, but there are serious implications to being self-deceived, for self-deception. Those that have deceived themselves, only hearing and not doing. Turn with me, if you will, quickly to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want to look at verses 21 through 27. Very familiar passage of Scripture here. Matthew 7 and 21. Matthew 7 and 21. Here we find an instance. We have one person that's heard and done. We have one person that's heard and not done. Matthew 7 and 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Look at verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." You see, my friends, there's going to be many, many, many people one day that's going to stand before the Lord assuming that they were okay, assuming that they were going to go to heaven based upon their religious works or their religious walk. Their faithful church attendance, their giving of the tithes, their giving to missions. You can give and give and give, and you can attend and attend and attend. You can hear message after message. But unless you've acted upon the Word of God, friends, it's doing you no good. God said right here, Jesus said in His own words, that man that heareth and doeth, he hears these things of mine, and doeth those things that I said to do, he is a wise man. That man has let the Word of God do a work in him, and he acted upon what he heard. He heard my words, and he did. And he acted what his house stood. I've preached on that many times before in the past, that wise man and that foolish man. And I've always said, I can see these two men as they go to the same, say you go to the Home Depot or Lowe's. I prefer Lowe's myself. I'm sorry if you like Home Depot. But if you go to Lowe's and they have these little workshops, they tell you how to build certain things or construct something. And say these two men, both these men that Jesus is talking about, goes to the same workshop. And they say, "Men, the number one thing that you need to do is get your foundation built strong and sturdy. Put it upon a solid, strong foundation. Don't put it on the sand. Don't put it in just loose dirt. make sure there's rock there, solid, and then worry about building the house. I can see both these men going to the same little workshop, hearing the same thing from the same instructor. He tells them how to build and how not to build. One man, he goes home and he finds where the ground is solid, where the rock is there, and he builds his house upon that solid rock, just like he was instructed, just like he heard. Now the other man, he heard the same thing that guy heard. But he goes and he says, you know what, this looks like a good place to me right here. It's got a good view. Everything looks, I like this place right. Let's build right here. Not ever considering what's underneath the dirt. Not knowing that underneath him is nothing but sand, nothing but loose soil, nothing except something's going to come by and wash it all away from under him. So he builds his house there, has his family in that house. Mr. Wise on the other side of the street building on a solid foundation. Mr. Foolish over here building on the sand. When that storm came, when that storm hit, when those waters rushed, when the dirt started loosening up from the ground, when things started crumbling, when their lives started falling apart, that man that listened, that man that heard and then did, he was fine. His family was saved. He was fine in that house. But that foolish man, the one that heard the word and did not listen, did not act upon that word. In fact, he did the opposite of what he was told to do. Then his house fell, and the Bible says, mighty was the fall of it. It fell, and great was the fall of it when that storm beat. Now, there's people, they can come to this church right here. They can hear a message preached. One guy on that side, one guy on that side. They hear the same word and hear the pastor or the preacher get up and preach from the Word of God and tell you that you're a sinner. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior before it's too late. One man will act upon it. He's convicted of the Holy Spirit. He comes and he gives his heart to Jesus. The other man refuses. He doesn't listen. He doesn't act upon the Word of God. And he goes out lost. Friends, these two men one day will meet where they will be going. They made their decision. One decided he was going to hear and do the Word of God. The other decided he was going to hear and do what he wanted to do. And then it's too late. The Bible says in James 2 and 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. My friend, you can believe that there's a God. You can believe that there was a Jesus. You can believe that the Bible tells the plan of salvation. You can believe all that stuff. But unless you act upon those beliefs, you act upon what you've read, you act upon the Word of God, it's doing you no good. You're deceiving your own self. You could attend every church service in this world, every opportunity you get. Unless you act upon the Word of God, it's not doing you a bit of good. Paul writes in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friend, self-deception is one of the most detrimental mistakes that anyone can make. You can deceive yourself. How awful to think of one day waking up in hell, realizing that you deceived yourself all your life. You thought your good works, you thought your good church attendance, you thought carrying the right Bible, you thought all these things would assure that you'd be in heaven. But you were sadly mistaken. You were self-deceived. You were self-deceived. My friend, what an awful thing to think about. And may God help us as we deal with this. I'm going to ask the ladies, if they don't mind, to come and sing an invitation song. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning as they sing. And if you're dealing with something today and you need help from the Lord, I'm going to encourage you to come down to the altar and pour it out at His feet. Just cry out to the Lord and beg upon His mercies and His grace, and He'll help you. Go ahead, ladies. If you need help, you come forward this morning as they sing.
To the land of the free and the home of the brave, we'll gladly pledge our allegiance until our grave. Established on the Bible, founded on God's word. It's time we as Christians speak out that we may be heard. That a house divided against itself cannot stand alone. And this is the cry of God Almighty, America, come home. One nation under God, is it still true today? Or have we wandered farther and farther away? We've got to spread the news, both far and near. America, can't you hear? America, come home. Liberty and justice, freedom for all. On the truths of the Bible, we stood proud and tall. Now we're murdering our children, condoning wicked men. Oh, can't you see the difference between now and then? But the Father's waiting patiently, our sins to atone. And this is the cry of God Almighty, America, come home. One nation under God, is it still true today? Or have we wandered farther and farther away? We've got to spread the news, both far and near. America, can't you hear? America, come home.